people and places and landmarks, they were given names for either what they represented or for what they hoped a child would aspire to be, or if there was a conversion, they would get a different name sometimes. Abram became Abraham, Sarai became Sarah, and they had different meanings when their names had changed. And so how God would do, what he would do is, he would reveal himself in a situation to a person or a group of people, and he would let them know his name. And so we're going to learn about Jehovah Jireh this morning. Jehovah and Yahweh, I don't have time to break it all down. Jehovah Jireh flows a little bit better for me than saying Yahweh Jireh. That is the other Hebrew translation. But some people say Jehovah, some say Yahweh. That comes from Exodus 3, the burning bush, where Moses is confronted by God in the wilderness and told to go back to Egypt to bring the people out of captivity. And so Moses says, well, when I go and tell these people that God is sending me, how are they going to believe that? What's your name? Did Dave send me? Did Bob send me? Who's sending me? And he says, Yahweh, or Jehovah. And what that means is, I am who I am. Actually, the closest translation is, I be who I be. And he's saying, I am the one and the only. I am God. And so he brings that name back to the Hebrew people in Egypt and to Pharaoh to say, let the people go. We won't get into song on that. But then throughout the Old Testament, and even prior to that spot, there are stories of God revealing his name. And so Jehovah means Lord. And Jireh, we'll learn, means provides. And so if you would turn with me, I didn't put it on a slide today. If you would turn in your pew Bibles, or if you brought your own, to Genesis 22. Genesis 22, it's page 29 in the pew Bible. And so I know I've preached out of this text before, but this Jehovah Jireh was the first name of God that came to me, and I couldn't have told you a couple weeks ago offhand where in the Bible that was and what that meant. I just remember that was one of the names of God. And so when I looked it up, I was like, ah, man, I preached out of this not too long ago. So here we go again, but the focus will be on God's name. And to be honest with you, I'm all for practicality. I'm all for giving a message, saying how we can be better, how we can grow closer to Christ. That's all important. But honestly, probably the most important thing to me, and this has been kind of just shaking me recently, is I need to preach about God. I need to preach about Jesus, just not about what we can do to be better. Because there is a process called sanctification that I won't get into today, where we are made one degree, day by day, closer into the image of Jesus. That's true. And we should see an upward trajectory, transition in our life, changes in our life. But that's brought about along by the Holy Spirit, not by something a pastor says. My words have no power. I might be able to convince you for 5 minutes, but by the time you get out the door and get in your vehicle, or at least by lunch on Monday, you've forgotten what the pastor said. And I'm one of those guys where I forget what the pastor said. Now, I understand that. So I'm not here to give you a pep talk. I'm just here to teach you about God today and about his name and how that translates. So to kind of give you my outline, what I hope to do is as I already shared, his name, Jehovah Jireh, meaning the Lord provides. Where we see that in the beginning, where we see that in the New Testament, and where we see that today. Because it says throughout the Bible, God is unchanging. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, forevermore. So if that's true, We'll see God the provider throughout the Old Testament, the New Testament, and today. He hasn't changed. So I want to read Genesis 22, and the setup is, at the age of 75, Abraham and Sarah, they've already gotten the commission from Adam and Eve saying, go out into the world and be fruitful and multiply. And so in the Hebrew people, they were honored by having children. That was a blessing from God, as it is today. But if you didn't have children, that meant something was wrong. And so at the age of 75, God says, I'm gonna bless you with a child. And Sarah kind of laughs in the crazy laugh in the tent and is like, no, 75 years old, that's not happening. And so 25 years go by. Abraham's waiting on this promise that a great nation will come from his seed, from his lineage, from his son. And at the age of 100, and Sarah's 90, they find out they're having a baby, and she gives birth to a boy named Isaac. Now, this is sometime later, as it says. Actually, that's what it says in the NIV. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. After reading this week, it came to me. I usually try and do a pretty good job of consulting my wife on all things, especially major things. Feel pretty confident our guy Abraham here did not consult with Sarah saying, hey, I'm going to take Isaac up to sacrifice him on the mountain. I'm pretty sure he just said, we're going up to the hill and we're going to go worship God, and left out a few of the details. Because I can imagine as a mother, old Mama Bear would have came out and said, he's not going with you. You can take a goat with you, but you're not taking my son. As they were waiting for such a long time. So verse 3 says, early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. Don't miss that. Look at the confidence that Abraham has. He says, we're going to go up on top of the mountain here, on top of Mount Moriah, and we're going to worship God. And we will come back to you. He knows what's placed in front of him, but he says, we will come back. And we later can read in Hebrews, in the list of the Hall of Faith, if you'll call it that, that Abraham, he believes that God has the power to resurrect and save, which, yes, he does. But he believes that Isaac will be killed by himself, and then God will raise him, and they'll come back. And then they might have a conversation about what not to tell mom. But verse 6, Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father? Yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand, took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son.
The angel of the Lord is the pre-incarnate Christ, is Jesus before coming to earth in the flesh. And he calls out to him. And this isn't the main point of the message, but what are we holding on to? Who is our Isaac? What is our Isaac? Abraham was called to lay it all. And he was willing to do it. And it's not just one of those things where God knows our heart. He knew Abraham's heart. He could have said, all right, well, I know Abraham is going to take Isaac up onto the mountain. I know Abraham is going to bind him and put him on the altar. I know he is going to raise the knife to take Isaac's life. God knew all of that. So if God knew all that, why would he put both of them through that? For Abraham. For Isaac. What is God calling you to? What is God calling us to? That we need to lay down. In this case, God gave it all back to him and more. Maybe God will do the same. I don't know what you need to lay down. But he calls us to lay everything down for him. Because he is Lord. Verse 13, Abraham looked up. There in a thicket, he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and looked at the ram, or took the ram, and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." In Hebrew, that's Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. And to this day, it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. Verse 15, the angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." Then Abraham returned to his servants and they set off together for Beersheba, and Abraham stayed there. The Lord provided, didn't he? Right at the last moment. Amen. When he knew there was no doubt Abraham was going to go through with it, he sent his son Jesus to say, stop. I'm going to provide the sacrifice. And so we see that he provides a ram in this case, provides the blood sacrifice for this. And that name has remained there, Mount Moriah, Jerusalem. Lord will provide. I was pretty excited when I learned this just earlier this week, and so I was excited to share with my wife hey, did you know that such and such happened? And she said, yeah. Oh, man, I thought I was going to like drop this knowledge bomb on you, and you were just going to be like, whoa, that's so cool. And she wasn't, so I was kind of stunk, but it was great to find out that she had found that out through Beth Moore, I believe it was, through the study of David. And what it is, in 2 Chronicles, it tells us that in this location where Abraham was going to sacrifice his son Isaac, David had wanted to build a temple for God. And God said, nope. And eventually he said yes to David's son Solomon. And so Solomon built the first temple in this location. And so I thought that was pretty cool. I don't have time to get into what that all means, but there's a lot of information you can study on that. Why God had chose that spot again. He provided. He provided in that situation. But it doesn't say that God did provide. It says God will provide. And in the tense of it is saying that he continually provides. It's not just a one-time provision. In this case, he provided once a ram for the sacrifice, but it wasn't just for that moment. It's, I continually provide. Amen. And so he had been providing long before that as well. Adam and Eve, before they came to be on day six, God took 5 days prior to that and part of day six before they were formed to make the earth beautiful. It was formless, it says in Genesis 1. Without any beauty. And he separated the heavens and the earth. He separated the water from the land. He made plants. He made fish. He made fruit and vegetation. He made all the animals. Then he made Adam. And then he really provided for Adam with a helper. He provided Eve. And he provided them everything in the garden except for the two trees. And of course, we know they disobeyed. We have an inherent sin. And that is what's caused, that's what forces the blood sacrifice in the Old Testament. And so God has always provided. He has always been Jehovah Jireh, but he announces himself, he announces his characteristic, who he is to Abraham on the mountain. And some of you, I'm sure, are already tracking with me to where I'm going in the New Testament. Because Jesus had said, I will continue to provide. Not just this ram this one time, but for all sins. In John, this just came to my mind, in John, Jesus gets into a little bit of a debate with some of the Pharisees. And they're not too happy with him when Jesus says, you say Moses is your father and that Abraham is your father, which they did. They held him in very high esteem, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And Jesus says, before they were, I was, or I am. And so they picked up stones to kill him. And he had said, they're like, you're not even, 40 years old. You're about 30. You're not old enough. How could you have seen Abraham in the desert in this moment? Well, we just read it. The angel of the Lord came to him and said, Abraham, Abraham, stop. He was there. Jesus was there with Abraham when that happened. And Jesus got to see the pre-incarnate Christ. And that's in John. In Romans 8, the scripture verse for today. Verse 31 and 32. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Rome. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son. He didn't skip over it. He said, I'm sending my son. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? This isn't prosperity gospel. This isn't saying, I need a new vehicle, and so God will provide it. Maybe he will. But that's not what he's saying here. He's telling us of a great hope, a great need. For me, how this is real is I had been at the Leona State Bank for about 8 years, had opportunities, maybe, I don't know, to continue to advance my career, probably more or less because a couple people above me had left, so then that opened up a spot, so story for another time maybe. But I was doing okay there. I felt pretty secure there. Financially, I was able to provide for my family. Healthcare was great. And then over a 2.5 year process being called away from the bank into the church. And finally said yes to that calling. And at first, Bill was saying, hey, this is the number I'm going to throw out to the deacons and throw out to the church and we'll see if it sticks. This is going to be something new. We've been a one-pastor church. This is going to be asking the church to stretch. Hey, that's okay. If we can get about this number, I will raise the rest of the support. Maybe you heard the fault in that. But I'll make sure I can bridge the gap because I feel our family needs to be at this amount, which is considerably less than what I was at, to make ends meet. And Bill had told me numerous stories, and yeah, that's great, Bill, that's nice. But this is my life, this is my experience, this is a little different. And at a board meeting, the last board meeting before I was starting, it started to weigh on me. I'm going from here, salary-wise, to here. And so all of a sudden it started to weigh on me. What am I going to do? Obviously, we've made some changes. We got rid of cable. We got this. I'm not allowed to go to the grocery store without a list. I'm not allowed to go into the gas station because I buy dumb stuff. But all that to say this is, we made some plans, but that realization of that income drop was becoming very real, and it was going to happen in a few days. And so my anxiety, my worry came out at the board meeting. And they went into closed session, and so Bill and I get kicked out, and we go to his office, and I'm like, Bill, I sounded like a fool in there. I said some things. I'm worried about this. Well, you just have to have faith. Bill, knock it off. I know you're a pastor. I know I'm starting to be a pastor, and I know we need to have faith, but that's not helping me pay the bills. He's like, well, I can't explain it, Franz, but he shared some stories with me, and shared before, and it's just like pulling out my hair, like, but Bill, no. This is a real deficit. I'm not going to be able to pay these bills. And he goes, you just need to have faith that God will provide. And so there was this peace that kind of came over me. And then when I got home and my wife convinced me even more that everything's going to work out. We said this number was going to work. And financially, we have never felt more stable than we did when I was working at the bank. We have seen over and over how the Lord has provided for us. Not only congregationally for what you have given and what you have voted for as members to pay my salary, the Lord has provided there, but some even above and beyond. And outside of this church, family members that I changed the support letter to an informational letter, and we had received some support. The Lord provided. I don't know how the Lord is providing for you, but He, if you take time right now and in this moment, He is providing continually. And it might not be with our wants, amen, but He has provided all of our needs. And when a new need arises, we pray about it. And Jehovah Jireh shows up again. The Lord continues to provide. And sometimes it's at a different time. Sometimes it's in a different way than what we were expecting or what we envisioned. But He has provided. And even if He didn't provide for us financially, and it meant that I had to give up working however many hours a week I work here, to go get a part-time job somewhere else to help financially, which the board was very gracious with giving me permission to do that if needed, that still pales in comparison how He's provided for us financially. That pales in comparison to how He has provided for what He accomplished on the cross. And friends, that's the most important provision He has given us. The Lord will provide. He provided a way for us to be saved from our sin. Our sin has a consequence. And God isn't up there looking down at us with a finger sternly saying, I can't believe you did that again. Can't believe you said that. Can't believe you thought that. He's not up there doing that. He's treasuring us. And He wants us to run back to Him, ready to embrace us. And He sent His Son. As we sang in the song, Merciful Savior this morning, the second one, I started to cry a little bit over there. When the words came up, who would have thought that the Lamb could rescue the souls of men? And just as this was a foreshadowing of the ram being caught in the thicket for Abraham to sacrifice instead of Isaac, that Jesus, being called the Lamb, gave Himself on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, that we need to submit. Just as Abraham had to submit and say, I'm giving you my son, even though you promised these promises, I'm going to trust you with that. I'm going to have faith in that, that you will continue to provide. And He did. And He submitted. He gave what He had. He gave His most treasured thing, His son. And He said, He is yours. And I will go through with what you've asked me, trusting that you have something better. And so, at the cross, we have to do the same thing. We have to submit. We have to submit our pride. We have to submit our relationships, our jobs, our athletics, our money, and he'll give many of those things back, if not all of them, maybe even more. But with us having a new understanding after we've submitted and they've been given back, that they're not really ours, they're just ours to steward. They're just ours to honor and glorify God through. And God continues to provide. So I challenge us this week to be thinking about how God is Jehovah Jireh, how he has provided for you, not only through salvation, if you've claimed that, if you've submitted yourself to that, but how he's provided for you in so many other ways as well, and that he continues to provide. Let's pray. Father God, Jehovah Jireh, we thank you for who you are, how you love us, how you demonstrated the consequences of sin on the cross, but how you also demonstrated grace and mercy and your love on the cross by providing the lamb, providing it for Abraham instead of Isaac, and providing us with salvation through your son on the cross instead of separation from you for eternity. Father, I just ask that you continue to move the Holy Spirit now and going forward throughout this week, that we can be reminded of all the provisions you have given us, all the blessings you have given us, and that we can steward them well for your glory and your honor. It's for your beautiful name, through the sanctifying blood of your Son, Jesus, we pray these things. Amen.